Thanks for listening to the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. Sponsored by FanDuel.com. FanDuel.com, the leader in single-day fantasy sports contests.
Roto Grinders presents the Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. Bringing you up to the minute industry news.
Time for me to tell you about the biggest tournament in the history of daily fantasy sports.
Interviews from the biggest names in the industry.
The one and only Kondia. Head Chopper joins us now to talk about this weekend in daily fantasy football. Now on the podcast, Napster Man.
And game analysis to save you time and help you build your bankroll.
Both the salary and the matchup are just too good. If you are not playing him in your head-to-head game, you are just going to lose.
Here is your host, the one and only, Dan Bock.
What's happening, everybody? Welcome. It is the Monday edition, Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast, all presented to you by our friends over at FanDuel.com. I, of course, am Dan Bock, and a pleasure to get your day started here. Well, maybe not your day. You could have listened to the morning grind before me, but hopefully helping you get ready for the day in daily fantasy sports, and obviously MLB going to be front and center for us here today, and a pretty easy slate, so I think this is going to be a pretty quick podcast, because not like a 12-gamer, and we've got Clayton Kershaw on the mound, so pretty easy to kind of put two and two together, so that's probably going to be most of what we've got going on the podcast here today. Certainly want to thank our sponsor, FanDuel.com. FanDuel, of course, they just wrapped up their qualifying for their Playboy Mansion and championship. And I'm pretty sure we should more than likely get an announcement today. I don't want to say today, because I don't know about that. But fairly soon on their World Fantasy Baseball Championship. You know, they announced the date a while back. Haven't heard much on it. Typically, you know, they kind of wait for one set of qualifiers to finish up before we get to the next one. So I think it'll be very interesting to see where they decide to go, because last summer, of course, they were, I believe, still in Las Vegas for their final. So this will be the first baseball championship, you know, outside of Las Vegas, and we'll see where they end up with that. So prize pool always interesting as well. And hopefully we get an announcement from that fairly soon. In terms of online stuff they got going on, the Super Monster is going to be happening tomorrow. So last chance to get some tickets into that. Lots of satellites available to you in the lobby. So I'm not sure exactly how big the old Super Monster is going to be, but it's super. So it's got to be bigger than normal. So certainly check that out happening tomorrow over on FanDuel. Speaking of FanDuel, I did read one column this this weekend. I think it was Venture Beat Online, Venture Beat Magazine. You probably may have heard of them. And it was a pretty good profile on FanDuel and Nigel. You know, they went to Scotland and talked to him. And the biggest interesting takeaway from that, from my perspective, was that it looks like later this summer they're kind of going to be moving to, you know, add an international product to their line. And it's funny because I actually talked to him about this at the Players Conference. If you attended that, you might have heard that interview I did with him. And he did mention that, yeah, they were going to, you know, expand into the UK. And even during that interview, he said something that was surprising to me at the time. And this is maybe the first, I don't say public time, because I guess that was still a public forum. But basically what they're going to be doing is having a UK product and a US-based product, rather than like DraftKings, where they just have one, they pool the liquidity all together. And I found that to be somewhat interesting, because clearly, you know, it gives you a better player base, a bigger set of prize pools to go on. But I also got the hint from my interview with him before was that there's no telling whether or not this UK-based product is going to look like FanDuel like we have here in the US. So I think it's going to be very interesting to see how that goes, and we'll be keeping our eye on that. But it's an uphill battle, you know, out there, especially, you know, kind of trying to bring fantasy to the forefront in a in, you know, an area of the world which fantasy sports is not nearly as, you know, accepted or, you know, ingrown or grown within like the fabric of the people who are sports fans. That's kind of what's happened with fantasy sports here. I don't necessarily think that applies out there in the UK. I think that clearly There's going to be some demand for it. And I think the biggest curiosity for us here in the U.S., because, you know, who cares if they run a product in the U.K.? We can't play it. But I think it'll be interesting to see whether or not they add EPL soccer to their U.S. Based operations as well, because that's clearly going to be front and center of what they do out there in the U.K. So if they have it for there, are they also going to say, hey, we're already getting the data feeds, we've got the game set up, does it really hurt us to offer it here in the U.S.? Because clearly FanDuel has been much more hesitant to expand their offerings than we've seen at DraftKings. They don't have MMA, they don't have NASCAR, they don't have golf, and I think, you know, part of that is that they're a much more conservative company on a lot of different levels. But I also look at a game like soccer where there really isn't necessarily a whole lot of reason to not add it from a, you know, legal standpoint. You know, yes, they take the more conservative side on some sports, but I don't think anybody would debate that soccer clearly kind of falls within the letter of the law of UIGEA and, you know, some of the practices or some of the standards that you need to reach with that. And you know, for to this point, they just have been like, well, it's a small market, it's not one for us to concentrate on. Well, clearly it's a big market in the UK if you have that product set out. I don't see the drawback in also adding it to the US side of the business. I don't think it's been a huge, huge category for DraftKings. I have no idea what percentage it makes up, but I'm fairly certain it's minuscule in the grand scheme of things. But it certainly doesn't hurt. And I'll be very curious to see if FanDuel does expand that to their U.S. customer base, because I don't think that's been confirmed in that story. I just gathered, like, yeah, we're going to do it in the U.K., and certainly they're still going to do American sports. They're going to do football. I'm sure they're going to do basketball. But it'll be interesting because, again, you know, there's no reason to just limit yourself to the U.S. market, especially, you know, sports is a worldwide thing, whether it's cricket, whether it's rugby, whether it's soccer. You know, yes, fantasy sports is, I still think, something that, you know, was born out of the U.S. and is always going to be U.S.-based in terms of the biggest popularity. But that doesn't say that you can't grow it, in that you can't, you know, slowly but surely introduce it to other markets and hopefully it catches on. Because, again, that process, though, is going to be a slow build. It's not one that's going to be happening particularly overnight. But, you know, considering the where we are with everything, some people are surprised that they would go ahead and launch it. But this is something that I know FanDuel has been working on for a long time. And, you know, clearly with them based out in the UK, you know, they probably have pretty good awareness of, you know, what the people are looking for in terms of their product. But very, very curious to see what it looks like compared to what we're doing here in the U.S. Other news in terms of fantasy sports-wise, we've got a big day in Illinois. You know, I kind of recapped that situation on Friday's podcast. Not going to go through that again. But a good chance that, you know, the bill that was passed and voted on Friday in the Senate will either have to be voted again in the Senate, or there's a good chance they could withdraw that motion to reconsider, and then it would move on to the House. I don't know if the House is going to vote on the bill today. That's obviously something that we'll wait and see on. It's going to be voted on not too far down the road, because they're running out of days in the legislative session out there in Illinois. And hopefully people can, you know, these lawmakers can use common reasoning and think about what your constituents want instead of what does the casino lobby want. Because ask yourself this question if you're voting on this. How many people, in terms of the people I represent, because that's what you do. As somebody who is in a place of office, you represent people in your district. What percentage of those people would be against daily fantasy sports versus those who are or fantasy sports in general versus those who either want it or are indifferent to it? Because if you're indifferent to it, then I don't think that's a reason to, you know, keep it out of the market and not allow 2 million fantasy sports players to be able to play season-long in daily fantasy in the state of Illinois. So it's a simple vote. It's a simple topic. there is no demand from the general public to get rid of it. So, again, if people are voting against this, in my eyes, it's simply because they're likely in the pockets of special interests like the casino lobby, the horse racing lobby, and those who are, you know, staunchly against it. So we'll see what happens in Illinois. We'll keep our eyes and ears out with that one and New York. But coming down to the wire, and hopefully we get good news here in the next couple weeks on both of those fronts. Also, the state of Mississippi, I did see Fantasy Draft is open for business in Mississippi as they have, gotten the A-OK from that state. And I don't know if it's their gaming commission or whomever decides it, but if you want to play at Fantasy Draft, you can do that. And also concerning them, mentioned this on the Week in Review video I do on Fridays, they're going to have Fantasy Golf. So, you know, we've seen it be a very popular sport at DraftKings, Aces and Feud. I believe Draft Day all offer golf, or Draft Day, you know, used to. I'm not sure if they still do. But we can add Fantasy Draft to the mix. And that's kind of exciting. I think that in terms of a game itself, I love fantasy golf. It's one of the most fun ones to play. It gives you 4 days. You know, you do your buy-in, and instead of one night, you kind of get, you know, 4 days to watch the games, which is a nice change. You know, not going to lie, the daily aspect of fantasy sports is great, but it's kind of, you could view it along the lines of, you know, like football. You know, you just play once a week. And same with golf. You just play it once a week, and then you get to follow it through the 4 days and definitely have the up and downs and obviously, you know, getting snake bit by Scott Piercy. I'm a little frustrated from this past week. But if you want to play fantasy golf, Fantasy Draft has it. Make sure you click through our links, great deposit bonuses, and a way to kind of say thank you to us for all the stuff that we give you day in and day out. So definitely check that out. All right, well, let's get into the daily fantasy slate here on this Monday. Take a look at the games. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, looks like 10 games. So that's not too bad, but we'll go to starting pitching, and it's not going to take long. We've got Clayton Kershaw on the mound today. He's 13-2. Which is definitely the highest price in the history of FanDuel for a player. But I don't think that's a reason not to take him, because honestly, right now what we're witnessing with Clayton Kershaw is, you know, literally one of the most dominating pitchers in the history of baseball. Like, this isn't just, you know, a wow, you know, we're excited because, you know, Clayton Kershaw is a really good... No, this guy is historically great right now. He's at this point in time, he is on his way to becoming, you know, a top 5 to 10 pitcher in the history of baseball, assuming he doesn't get hurt. I mean, this guy has had 6 consecutive games with double-digit strikeouts. He's just been dominating, and when you're playing a cash game and you want to lock in a sure thing, he's the way to go. In Vegas, you know, they love him today again. -350. That is an insane number for baseball, for a team or a player to be favored by. And that's what the Dodgers are today against Cincinnati. So -350 is crazy. And he's taken on the Reds at home. Brandon Finnegan on the mound for Cincinnati, who's not particularly great. The fact of the matter is it's a great pitcher's ballpark. So you can pretty much lock him in. And if you put him in your lineup, you're looking at an average of 27-25. Of what you can have per position. I was expecting it to be worse. Like, that's okay, because as long as you find a 2K crapper or two in your lineup, then you can usually hover right around that 3K price point. And with, you know, the way FanDuel salaries are set up, you can get some underpriced studs potentially in your lineup. And I'm very happy with my first iteration of lineup that I built with Clayton Kershaw in it. Typically in tournaments, I'm more along the lines of, yeah, you know, let's fade this crazy 13-2 salary. But for me today, if I'm making 10 lineups, even in tournaments, I'm probably putting Kershaw in at least 7 of them. Maybe those 3 will be able to mix things up a little bit, try and get some contrarian bats. Because the one thing that you run into is when you've got a guy like Kershaw so heavily priced, you're naturally going to have a lot of the same people kind of flock to the same value plays. Now, we saw it last game he pitched was the day that we had Tommy Joseph, what, a 2K true minimum play on DraftKings, end up hitting a home run. I mean, that's That's really bad news for the Kershaw faders, because it's more than likely not only are you fading Kershaw, but you're fading the cheap value as well. So, you know, the fact of the matter is if Kershaw pitches well and the cheap value goes off, you're pretty much up the river with no paddle here, because you've got to fight back from a huge performance from Kershaw and, you know, top performing value, which everyone is going to have. So that's kind of what took place last week. We'll see what happens again this week. But at 13-2 against Cincinnati at home, he's a lock and load. Johnny Cueto would be just fine if there was no Kershaw, and I suppose you could go with him. But I don't think you need, you know, the extra 1,500, 1,600, whatever it is, to get the bats here today. He's going against San Diego. I think he's pitched 2 complete games against San Diego so far this season and has been a strikeout per inning. Last game, he gave you 60 fantasy points against San Diego, 72 fantasy points before that. So clearly, he's pitched very well against them. But this isn't a reason not to play him, but maybe on a two-pitcher site, you take Kershaw and you find value somewhere else. I just think that when you've got bats that face a guy in basically back-to-back starts like we're seeing here, that's an advantage to the hitters than it is the pitchers. I mean, they're going to be seeing this guy for a third time in less than a month, really. So, not that I like San Diego bats to hit them or anything like that, but it's just enough of a reason for me to be like, let's not get cute with Kershaw here and just roll with him over Johnny Cueto. So I'm just going to throw that out there. If you want an argument against playing him here today, that's it. But the performance for him against his team has been just flat out dominant all year long. And now I haven't tried to do a Kershaw Cueto team over on DraftKings. I have to imagine that's going to be pretty hard to accomplish today, but we'll see. Rich Hill, he's the third highest priced salary player today, and he's been super steady. You look at his last 6 starts, 45, 42, 41, did have a 24 against Houston, and then 57, 57. So this guy's been really good. I don't know where it comes from, because this guy's like old. He's kind of out of nowhere, but great pitching environment today going out there to Seattle, and just a small underdog in this one. Now, Mariners are okay against lefties, you know, certainly for a lineup that has as many lefties as they do, but you've got Nelson Cruz, obviously, who's a lefty smasher, but a guy like Kyle Seager, for example, a great wOBA against lefties. I'm okay with him as a starting pitcher, too. I just don't see him too much of an option here on FanDuel. Even if I'm going cheaper, I'm probably going to go way cheaper than 9,600 just to kind of get some differentiation in the bats. Gio versus the Mets, somewhat intriguing for me here in this matchup. You know, last start versus him, versus them. Again, similar to what we saw with Johnny Cueto. He's facing them kind of back-to-back starts. 5 Ks in 6 innings. Did get you 43 fantasy points. So pretty solid here in this matchup. I don't hate him today, but again, he's not a freebie. 8,900, not a bad price tag. You know, Adam Wainwright, kind of came back last start, pitched well against Colorado, 47 fantasy points. It's really his best start of the season, fantasy-wise. Against the Cubs, it's not an ideal lineup, but here's a guy who always pitches well versus the Cubs. Low total at 7.5, and I'm going to call that John Lackey gets, you know, finally hit at some point in time, and it might happen here today. Not that there's like a real great track record or anything like this, but I just don't believe for a second that John Lackey is going to kind of keep up this pace that we've seen for him. So maybe a little revenge for the Cardinals against John Lackey today at home. So Wainwright could be mega sneaky on multi-pitcher sites. It's risky because Chicago can put up a ton of runs. Wainwright's looked like garbage most of this season, but he's a gamer, and he's a guy who's always pitched well against the Chicago Cubs. Matt Moore versus Miami, 6,900. You know, this is interesting. He's been really bad his last 3 starts, really bad, and 12, 26, negative 2. I don't know really what to take of this one. Like, I think there's some potential here if he can find the strike zone. This Miami lineup doesn't really worry me. Not the worst ballpark in the world. In fact of the matter is their biggest star is in just a mega slump right now. Stanton's batting 211 with just huge strikeout numbers game in and game out. And it's insane how bad he is. He's super cheap out there today. I still think, again, I'm not playing him on FanDuel on a single pitcher site, but multi-pitcher sites, you could maybe make a little bit of an argument there, potentially for him. And then that's pretty much it that I'm seeing here today on the cheap. So again, Kershaw, your cash games, roll with them. All right, let's go game by game, give you some guys who stand out for me. Again, we got a doubleheader here in Cleveland in Chicago, and it's Anderson versus Eric Johnson. Eric Johnson's got a WOBA of like over 400 to lefties, and you've got Cleveland who's got Kipnis, who's got Santana, who's got Chisenhall, who's got, what, Rajai Davis. No, I guess he's a righty, not a lefty. But Francisco Lindor, they're going to have a lot of lefties. And I think Cleveland today, it's a high total in that one at 9. I really like those bats. They certainly are desirable. Their price point is not cheap. You know, Santana at 37, Kipnis at 36 are not gimme price tags. Lindor at 39. If you want a mega cheap option, lefty-righty, it'd be Lonnie Chisenhall at a 2.2 kind of salary. He'll obviously work with Clayton Kershaw. Hasn't really registered a hit in his last five games, so there's certainly a lot of question mark to the validity of that play. But again, you need to find cheap bats. I don't mind that spot for Cleveland, so I don't mind those guys today. And then for the White Sox, I don't know. I mean, not that Cody Anderson is a great pitcher here. I just can't get behind too many of these White Sox bats because they're too pricey. Eaton and Abreu and Frazier are 3.9, 3.7, 3.8. Give me Cleveland side over the White Sox. Jimmy Rollins has like zero upside. Maybe a Melky Cabrera at 3.1. Could be a guy I have a slight interest in today, but for the most part, not looking too heavy at the White Sox. Mets and Nationals, check the weather on this one. Right now it's coming up a little red here on the lineups page, and it's Colon versus Gio. Again, we saw Bart go against the Nationals the other day, and he walked Bryce Harper four times. We'll see if that happens again today. But Daniel Murphy batting behind him could mean he sees a lot of good pitches here and has been very solid versus righties. Expensive number at 3.8. Obviously, him and Harper going to be tough to fit in their lineups here tonight, but we'll see against a guy who throws a lot of straight fastballs. You know who actually is woken up at the plate? Ben Revere. 3-for-5, 2-for-4, 2-for-5 in his last three games. Good for, what, 34, 6, and 22 fantasy points. He is 2.5K against Bartolo Colon leading off. Could be a guy on the cheap for you here today. The Mets side against Gio, not a lot I'm looking at. I don't mind David Wright at 2.7K. He's, you know, historically been pretty good versus lefties. 380 WOBA in his 24 at-bats against Gio Gonzalez is not horrendous. So he's a cheap enough bat. I'd keep my eye on him today. Phillies and Tigers. Here's what you need to know. Mike Pelfrey's pitching again today against Vincent Velasquez. So I think you're going to see a lot of Kershaw with Phillies bats because, again, Pelfrey's still really, really bad. I don't care if last game he didn't get hammered as much as we expected. He stinks and doesn't strike anybody out. And I think you're going to see a heavy correlation between a couple of names here on the Phillies and Kershaw lineups. I think you're going to see a lot of Ryan Howard at 2.3K. And I think arguably one of my favorite plays on the day is going to be Franco here for the Phillies. He's a guy who's, what, 3.46 in his WOBA, 0.190 in the ISO versus right-handed pitching, and just feels like, you know, he's going to make contact here against Mike Pelfrey, and it's going to go a long way. So if I'm calling a dong today, it might even be Michael Franco. He's only 2.7 on FanDuel. Really like him, and you can get, you know, all these bats on the cheap. Besides Odubel Herrera, who's actually really good at 3.5K, Cesar's at 2.5, Franco 2.7, Howard 2.3, Rupp 2.5, Galvis 2.4. Tyler Goodell, a 2K crapper for you. Tommy Joseph, a 2K crapper for you, maybe. So there's a lot of ways we can go with the Phillies. And again, if you want to fade Kershaw, well, then you're kind of fading the Phillies too, because I think those two are going to go hand in hand. But Franco, one of my top choices on the day. The Tiger side of things, Velasquez, you know, you kind of gloss over him with starting pitching. the Tigers' bats are really starting to wake up. Miguel Cabrera hasn't struck out in a long time. We've seen J.D. Martinez. His salary is skyrocketed to 3.9. Ian Kinsler at 4.4. Again, you look at FanDuel, they put a little bit more stock in recent performance than DraftKings, which is more matchup-based. And with so many of these guys over 3K, going to be tough to make that lineup work with a top-flight pitcher today. Castellanos at 3.4. I don't mind him. All in all, probably not a team I'm looking to stack, but also I'm not really, you know, looking to go to Velasquez that much. Good strikeout numbers versus righties, so there is some upside there in tournaments, but I just don't trust the Tigers' bats to just totally get shut down here. Rays and Marlins, we and Chen against Matt Moore. Again, the Rays' bats are really good against lefties. Actually been pretty solid overall, but you're seeing some numbers like, whoa, like Steve Pierce is more expensive than Giancarlo Stanton. Well, yes, he is. Brandon Guyer is the same price as Giancarlo Stanton. Yes, he is. Stanton's been awful lately, and those guys have been hitting the ball pretty well. And, you know, you look at it's going to be all right-handers likely today for Tampa against Wei Yin Chen. And a guy like Evan Longoria, usually a lefty killer, but for his career, 11 for 37, two home runs, six RBIs, only six strikeouts. That's a 4.06 wOBA against Mr. Chen in his career. Brandon Guyer, seven hits and 21 at-bats. So, you know, they've hit him pretty well for his career. So I don't love the Tampa Bay side just because those guys' salaries are not, you know, gimmies today. You can get a Taylor Motter there at shortstop maybe for 2.1 if he's batting near the top of the lineup. But everyone else, you know, Kurt, even, you know, Steven Souza at 3.2, not gimme prices when you need an average salary of 2,700. And for the Marlins side of things, not a lot to really get excited. If JT is near the top of the lineup at 2.7K, I can maybe get behind him as at a catcher spot on the cheap. I'll be curious to see Stanton's ownership today, just because he's obviously clearly underpriced for his career numbers, for what he can do at 3.4. These guys can easily be over 4K, but he is one that runs very hot, very cold. He is locked in that cold streak right now, and you know, I'll be curious to see how many people go to him today, because clearly can win you a tournament with 2-3 home runs in a game. Rest of that lineup, you know, Prado at near the top versus a lefty is a pretty good matchup for him. I don't mind Ozuna, but too expensive at 3-8 on a night like tonight where we're paying up for pitching. Highest total of the day goes to the Angels and Rangers tonight. Trapiano against Derek Holland. Holland doesn't strike anybody out. That might bode well for Albert Pujols. 3.5 makes me a little bit nervous in terms of paying that sort of salary for him. CJ Cron at 2.7 might be a little bit more of a value-priced option for you. Check on Mike Trout tonight if he is in the lineup. He did twist his ankle, I think, on Sunday and came out of the game. They said it was precautionary, but certainly keep your eye on that. Amazing spot. But almost 5,000 not going to work with the Kershaw lineup here today. And Escobar, Calhoun, not enough upside for me for the price tags that they have. And then for the Texas side, this is, I think, somewhat desirable. Not that I look to, you know, stack up against Trapiano too much, but again, great ballpark. Weather is pretty warm there, 82 degrees out there in Texas. And you got some cheaper price tags here. Odor at 3.5 is okay versus O'Reilly. Desmond's the most expensive bat that they've got, but you got Prince hits in, what, four or five straight games. Maybe he's starting to come and break out of it at 2.8. Beltre at 3.1. Mitch Moreland at 2.9. So, again, sub-3K guys, you've got a handful. And we'll see where Mazzara checks in. He's actually swung a bit hotter bat over the last couple weeks, still at 2.9. If he's near the top of that lineup, I'm excited about him here today. Minnesota and Royals, Nolasco and Kennedy. Kennedy could have been a sneaky option today, but I got a hunch this one's going to get PPD. The weather looks pretty awful out there in Minnesota. If it would go, I don't mind Kennedy. He's been really, really decent here lately. The FanDuel output, 38, did have a dog of a game at 16, 51, 42. So overall, pretty decent there. Strikeup totals have been nice there for Mr. Kennedy. And then you know, Nolasco, he's been better. Not necessarily a guy that I'm looking to stack up against, but I just think weather in this one's going to make it a dangerous, dangerous spot. Cubs and Cardinals, Lackey against Wainwright. I told you, I think Lackey's going to get bombed sooner rather than later. Maybe it's tonight. And if it is, you got to couple of value bats here in Holiday and Matt Adams that kind of stand out to me at 2.6 and 2.7K. You really don't want to pay 3.8 for Piscotty. Diaz is nice at shortstop, 3.3, as long as he's at the top of that lineup. We just have to see whether that's going to happen here today. But I think I'd take a flyer on a Holiday or an Adams potentially in my Kershaw lineups. As for the Cubs side of things, yeah, you could easily say Wainwright's going to just, he's not a good pitcher anymore. And you could get some good value. A guy like Jorge Soler was, what, 2.1K the other day, hit a home run, and batting in the heart of that lineup, which can score a lot of runs. He or Baez are your obvious value choices here today against Wainwright, but I don't see this offense as one that, you know, I'm going to take a shot on a Bryant here today or a Rizzo. Not with Kershaw. You just can't do it. Oakland and the Mariners, Hill and Walker, very low total in this one of 7. And yeah, I'm not feeling particularly great about either offense. I don't love either pitcher, but I get it just because it's such a tremendous ballpark. Taijuan Walker, it's kind of been up and down, you know, certainly has some big K upside historically. Again, he's faced this team a couple of times and hasn't gone particularly great. One bat that stands out to me, especially with, you know, my Kershaw lineups, assuming he's in it, could be Steven Vogt for the Oakland A's. He is all the way down to, what, 2.1K, and he did play on Sunday's lineup, so we'll see whether or not he is back. Did hit a double that day. We love him versus righties, and he's near mint salary, so he's another guy who could kind of fall in line of, you know, a lot of the Kershaw lineups are going to spend that 2.1 punt on a catcher here today. So keep your eye on him. Top of the lineup, Coco Crisp at 2.8K. Pretty nice value on him here again. Hitting the ball a little bit better. You know, hits in 6 consecutive games, 7 out of his last 8 now. You know, not a lot of fantasy points in those. Obviously wish he would, you know, steal some bases. Hasn't really done that too much at this point in his career, but batting at the top of the lineup for under 3K, you could probably do worse. And then on the Mariners side of things, just too expensive to really pair too many of these guys with what we've got with our starting pitchers today. So more than likely going to be a pass for me on them. Reds and Dodgers. Dodgers could be another source of some value bats here today against Brandon Finnegan, who, you know, just isn't a particularly great pitcher. Kiki Hernandez, yeah, I know he disappoints a lot, but he's so cheap at 2-1, potentially leading off him. Trace Thompson, very good targets today. Even Justin Turner at third base, you know, a guy who's really been down this season. But in this matchup versus a lefty, maybe this is a spot for him to get going. And hell, he's cheap at 2,400. You could even go to Yasiel Puig today in that outfield at 2.4K. So there's lots of value to be had here today on the Dodgers, and I'm fine doing it against Finnegan. And then Padres and Giants, 6.5 the number here. Let's see. You had some, I believe, some pretty good BVP here today with a guy in, what, Hunter Pence, I believe, against Drew Pomeranz. He's, 4-for-14 with 4 home runs against Pomeranz, and Buster Posey 6-for-10 with 2 home runs against Pomeranz. So those two guys have hit him particularly well. Neither are overly expensive. I'm not seeing, for whatever reason, he's not in our projected lineup, Mr. Pence tonight, but Posey at 3-4 is actually not a killer lineup for a guy versus a lefty at home. As for San Diego, again, not really looking too much at these guys here today against Johnny Cueto. There you have it. That's the quick outlook here today for this Monday, and that's going to wrap us up here on the podcast. As always, thank you so much for the listen, the download. You know where to find us over there on Stitcher and iTunes. Please subscribe to this podcast. Then you get all of our glorious podcasts, whether it's The Morning Grind, the replay of some of the special shows that we do. And coming up this week, you'll hear more about it a little bit later on. We're going to be doing Rotonomics. It's going to be an advanced analytics style show, and that's going to be happening Thursday at 3:30. So we're going to kind of be every Thursday, it's going to go between the Throwdown show and the Rotonomics show. So it's going to be fun moving forward, and still do game theory every 2 weeks as well. So trying to add some new type of shows to our Grinders Live platform. If you haven't subscribed to our YouTube page, you should do that as well. That is obviously just search Roto Grinders over there on YouTube, click subscribe, and you'll get all of our videos. And tonight, things get rolling, I believe, at 3:30 as well with our Grinders live shows. And we'll take you all the way until 7 o'clock tonight. Till tomorrow, have yourself a great Monday playing DFS. I'll catch you on XM at 6 Eastern, and we will see ya.
Thanks for listening to the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. Don't miss an episode by subscribing to it on iTunes and Stitcher. And for up-to-the-minute DFS news, please follow us on Twitter at Roto Grinders.